If you got a Bible, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we've been going through this series entitled Conquered by Grace. Conquered by Grace, looking at Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, right? This mega church, if you will, that was growing rapidly, seeing folks saved, right? But faced some of the similar issues that may have the church in the United States may face today. All the temptations and the struggles. And so Paul looks to try and encourage them to continue moving forward in their faith. As Pastor Derek has alluded to, right, the first three chapters speak to doctrine, right, who we are in Jesus, how we came to know Jesus, and chapters 4 through 6 highlight this call for us to walk out. It's practice, what it looks like to practically live as followers of him. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul continues right on that track. The first portion, verses 1 through 14, speak to this call that Paul gives for the church, right, to choose to imitate Christ. At the end of the day, because they've been saved by Christ, right, the call for them is to walk in him, to imitate him, to live a life of love, right? Or in other words, to understand that they've been delivered from the dominion of darkness, right, and have been transferred into his marvelous light, and to walk in that light. So to put away the stuff that, man, they were once living in before they were saved, and to walk in this new life that they have in him. And then we find ourselves in verse 15, which is where I want to spend the majority of my time, verses 15 through 21. And so if you're there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, can you please let me know that you're there by saying there? Okay, just want to make sure y'all are awake this morning. That's what we do on the north side, man. We check to make sure folks are awake by them talking back to me. And so starting in verse 15, we're going to read through verse 21 together. This is what the word of the Lord says. It says this: look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk, or do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but rather be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Won't we pray one more time together? Lord God, we do love you. We thank you for your word. We ask and pray that you would, God, just continue to fill this place. Lord, I pray that we'd be a people that meet with you, Lord. God, and leave differently than the way that we came. God, help us to be a people, Lord, that walk in wisdom in these days, Lord. Help us to be a people that learn how to live wisely in these times. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and honor for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I've entitled this message today simply this: wise living. Wise living. Paul here gives some encouragement to the Ephesian church on how they ought to live wisely, right, as followers of Christ in this day. Brother Henry, talking about living wisely, I have been enlightened, if you will, over these last few weeks and months, right, and have grown, I feel like, in wisdom. For those of you who may not know, I recently got engaged. Praise the Lord for that. And excited for the future there. And my soon-to-be wife, she has adopted a lovely girl from Honduras. Her name is Lily. And so I have learned in my time spending with them, right, a thing or two about being a parent and practicing, right, for when the time comes when we say I do to be a parent. I've learned some keys to wisdom in that regard. Not saying I know it all by any means, but I've learned a thing or two. Like the first thing that I've learned, right? It is pretty nice to make sure you have that show Bluey handy on your phone, right? That little kid show Bluey handy on your phone whenever you go out to eat at a restaurant. Some of you may think, I'm anti screens whenever it comes to hanging out with my kids. Well, I'm not there yet. Again, I'm just getting going. And maybe there's levels to growth, right, in parenthood. But whenever the child gets a little nuts, man, hey, having Bluey there, it helps things out a little bit. Another thing that I've learned, right, in terms of parenthood is this. Whenever she's up and at them, it's really hard to get really any kind of work done. She's 2 years old, right? And so I'm not going to have my laptop out because chances are she's going to do a little dance on the laptop and break it. And so, you know, I need to make sure, right, to focus all my time and attention there. But the biggest thing I've learned, right, and I feel like I've grown in wisdom in, is understanding the intentionality and the specificity, right, that it takes to raise a child up and raise a child up in the way of the Lord. Right, I've learned the specifics of understanding, okay, there's a certain time when they need to have a snack. There's a certain time when they need to take a nap. Right, there's a certain time, hey, when they need to, you know, go outside and play. And though, you know, I may not have it down to a T, and there's going to be times where you can't follow that, that train of thought for whatever reason. Right, it's good to make sure you're intentional with, your time with them. Right, to help them be reared up in the Lord. When Paul talks about living wisely here, right? That's exactly what he is talking about. In verse 15, but when it speaks to, right, that living wisely, it's this understanding that our Christian life, right, we have got to be intentional, right, in our steps that we take in him. In our Christian life, hey, we've got to choose a accuracy or precision in regards towards, right, the moves that we make, the directions that we take, right, what we choose to intake personally. There's got to be intentionality there. We can't just choose to be followers of Christ that wander aimlessly in this life. We can't choose to fall victim to believing, right, that we grow or we're going to grow in this Christian life by osmosis, or it's just going to happen. We've got to take intentional steps, right? And Paul talks about how that is in turn living wisely for him. Living wisely for him. We must choose not to be sleepwalkers whenever it comes to our faith, but rather be folks that open our eyes to live, man, this Christian life out. We grow and mature in Christ when we choose to live carefully, man, and intentionally in him. And so the call for us is to live wisely. Real quick, we see here in the text, verses 15 through 21, right, three ways, right, in which we're able to live wisely in Christ in these days. The first way, right, that Paul, man, calls for us to live wisely is this. Choosing, number one, to be a good steward of the time that we have been given. He says in verse 16 there, hey, look careful how you live. In verse 15, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Right? Hey, that can be said of us today, couldn't it? In the context here in the first century, right, Paul's talking about the persecution that the Christians are facing there in Ephesus, right, facing there by way of the Roman Empire. It was some evil days, and we're living in some evil days right now. And so Paul is challenging and encouraging us, hey, to be folks that make the most of the time. Make the best use of the time. Choose to be good stewards, right, of what we've ultimately been given. All of us in here have been given an allotted time here on this earth to live. And the call for us is, man, to be a good steward of that time. I love how one commentary puts it, asking the question, what does it mean? What does it look like to be a good steward of the time? I love how one commentary says it. They say it like this. This text calls us to identify the things that fritter our time away and to prioritize everything relentlessly. Christians should make the most of their time because they do not want to waste their lives. Being a good steward of the time given, right, is understanding what must take priority in you and your family's life and choosing to prioritize those things. Hear me out. I'm not saying, hey, that the call for us is to live this legalistic life where we can't go and have vacations with our families, that we can't go and have a good time, right, in the Lord with those that we're around, that we've got to spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, in God's Word or in Bible study. I'm not talking about that in terms of a legalistic standpoint. What I'm talking about, though, is understanding, okay, there's stuff, right, that should take priority in our life and over other things. Like, for example, man, what ought to take priority in our life is our personal time with Jesus. That ought to take priority. Man, we ought to choose to carve out time, to be intentional to carve out time, man, to spend time with Him. Another thing that ought to take priority, man, is choosing to invest, man, in other people. Invest in our kids. Invest in those that are at work, those that we know that are lost. Man, we ought to take time to invest in them. Share the truth of the gospel with them. Pour into them. Encourage them. What ought to take priority, right, is caring for the body and investing in the life of the church, God's vehicle for hope for the world. We've got to choose to be folks that, man, understand, man, that this life is brief, and choose to be intentional with the time that we've been given. I love this quote, right? You've probably heard it before. It goes like this: only one life, this too shall pass. Only what is done for Christ will last. Man, let's invest in, man, the stuff that'll last beyond this life. Man, let's be good stewards of the time that we have been given. Secondly, we see here in Paul's text in Ephesians chapter 5. Hey, what does wise living look like, man? Firstly, it looks like being intentional with the time we've been given, being a good steward of it. But secondly, it looks like this. Hey, choosing to walk in God's will for our life. Look at the text. Look what it says. It says, therefore, making the best use of time, for these days are evil. Therefore, in verse 17, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Man, wise living is choosing to understand what God's will is and to walk in it. That word understand there in the original text, it speaks to this thought of us being able to have a brain and to truly understand, man, what God's direction is for our life. Aren't you glad for that, man? Hey, we can truly understand what His will is for us. I think there's some folks that truly believe when it comes to God's will that it's some mystic, some nebulous type deal that's far off, that, man, we try and spend our whole lives trying to figure out. That's not God's intention. God's intention for us, right, is, man, to understand what His will is and to walk in it. So you may say, Pastor Irv, hey, okay then, hey, smart guy, man, what is His will then for my life? Well, I'm glad you asked. Hey, 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says it like this. Hey, for God's will for us is our sanctification, our growth in Him. God's will for us, man, is for us to continue to grow in Him, mature in Him, to walk with Him. So I'll put it to you this way. As we walk in this relationship with the God of the universe, as we take each step by step, man, hey, He reveals to us, man, what the next steps are. And the call for us is to follow Him in it. As we walk in Him, we grow and mature in Him, right? And He reveals the next steps that are ahead for us in Him. Be careful, man. And I remember falling victim to this, you know, in college. I know many folks that do when it comes to the Christian life as well. Be careful not to fall victim, right, to being one that, hey, chooses to worship God's will for your life over ultimately worshiping Him. If we're not careful, hey, we can get so caught up in trying to discover, man, what God's will is for us. Oh, what's the next step? What's these things? That we, man, neglect worshiping Him and just following Him and following His lead as we spend time with Him, as we walk with Him. Choose to be one, man, that walks in step with Him. And as He reveals those next steps, don't be a fool that chooses to do your own thing. Say, oh, okay, God, I had this idea. I know I wanted you to show me the next step, right? But I had this idea for my life, so I'm going to choose to go this way. You know, Paul calls that being foolish. Don't choose to do that. Rather, man, choose as you walk with him and he reveals those next steps. Man, choose to be one that follows him and his plan. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says it like this. Hey, trust in the Lord. You probably know the verse. You've been in church any length of time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And aren't you glad for that today, man? Hey, the Lord's will for our life, man, it's not something that's hidden, that's mystic. And as we seek his face, as we worship him, as we take steps forward in him, man, he will reveal, man, the step after that to us. And hey, those of you in here, man, you could speak to that. You look back at your life and you think, man, I didn't imagine myself being here in this moment. I know I look at that in my life. If you would have asked me at 20 years old if I'd be where I am now, I'd say, man, hey, you're crazy. You're crazy. I would have never imagined myself in Tennessee, though it's a beautiful state. It's a little too far north for me is what I would have said. But hey, as we walk with the Lord, man, hey, he reveals those steps. He reveals those steps. And the call for us is to, man, walk in God's will for our life. That's wise living. That's wise living, walking in his will. And thirdly, lastly, we see here in the text where we'll spend the remainder of our time, right? Wise living in Christ, man, it consists of us choosing to worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Paul here in the rest of the passage, look what he says in verses 18 on. He says, and do not get drunk with wine for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Man, wise living, right, consists of choosing to worship the Lord. Man, I don't know if you knew this or know this or not, but man, it is wise to worship. It's wise to worship him. It's a good thing to worship him. And Paul challenges the church at Ephesus to choose to worship him. What does that consist of? Man, he breaks it down here. There's a lot there that's in, you know, these four verses. What does, man, worshiping the Lord consist of? Firstly, it consists of this. Man, it starts with the Spirit-filled life. We've been talking about that a lot lately. But Paul, man, he speaks to the specifics of that there. Don't get drunk with wine, right? But rather be filled with the Spirit. When it talks about being filled with the Spirit, man, Paul contrasts it, man, with being drunk with wine. Whenever, hey, you're drunk, right? Whenever you're inebriated, that substance has control over you in that moment. Paul says, hey, don't allow, man, for the substances or, hey, the stuff of this world to control you. But rather, hey, be filled with the Spirit. Come under the control and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. For us who are in Christ, man, hey, we possess the Spirit. He lives in and through us. Third person of the Trinity. He lives in and through us. But daily, hey, we've got to choose, right, to come under his authority and his leadership in our life. Or else we're going to live for ourselves. Or else we're going to do our own thing. Say, Pastor Irv, okay, what does it look like, practically speaking, man, to come under his control, right, every single day? Well, it looks like this. Man, it looks like first choosing to daily empty yourself. Hey, whenever you come to the Lord, man, we ought to be folks that are in the practice of, man, confessing our sins to him, right? Laying, right, our sins down to him, being real and honest with him because he knows it anyway. But when it comes, right, to being filled with the Spirit, we've got to choose to be folks that daily empty ourselves. Hey, because, man, you can't get filled up if your cup's already full with stuff. You've got to choose to empty out, man, hey, the junk. Got to choose to daily empty yourself. Romans 12, 1 and 2 speaks to that, man. Laying our lives down daily as a living sacrifice. That's the appropriate type of worship. We've got to daily empty ourselves. Secondly, though, hey, we've got to daily, man, submit to him. When we empty ourselves, hey, we've got to daily choose to say, all right, Lord, hey, you're the boss today. Where I work, where I serve. Hey, you know, where I frequent. You're the boss. And as you're going about the day, as the Spirit nudges you, leads you, man, hey, you choose to respond in obedience. Got to choose to daily submit to Him. And then you got to choose to daily fellowship with the Father. Spend time with Him, man, in prayer and in His Word. Hey, that's super important, by the way. Because you got a lot of folks, man, that say that, hey, what they hear, what they feel is of the Spirit, but it doesn't match the Word. Can I go ahead and tell you? Hey, if the Spirit's leading in your life, hey, doesn't match with anything in the Word, then it's not of the Spirit. You probably just had bad takeout that day. Got to match, man, the Word. That's why we need to spend time with Him, with the Father in His Word, man. It starts with the Spirit-filled life, man. Daily being filled with, man, the Spirit of God. But not only that, right, worshiping the Lord consists of singing as well. Look what it says in the text, like we just read. And addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Man, hey, living wisely, right, is understanding that, hey, we have a reason to sing. We have a reason to worship the Lord. And by the way, can I go ahead and say, it says it there. Man, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. There's a couple of things there. Number one, right, we see that there are two types of audiences that Paul's talking to here. He's talking about addressing one another, right, in song, but also he's talking about obviously lifting up praise and worship to the Lord. Addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You may read that and think, wait a second. Man, is Paul telling us that we've got to serenade one another, right, in song? Hey, I can't sing. Not necessarily. You can if you want to. Maybe it may be an encouragement to some, maybe an annoyance to others. Not necessarily talking about that, but hey, it's talking about this, man, a way for you to edify the body, right? Is, hey, if there's a song in your heart, man, choose to, hey, to share that song with somebody, right, that may need it. Man, hey, choose to encourage one another, man, with the song that God has placed on your heart for them to hear. But also, it's ultimately singing to the Lord, man. The wise thing to understand, right, is understanding the fact that, hey, the God of the universe is greater than our feelings, is greater than our preferences when it comes to song, right? He's greater than our circumstances, and choosing to sing to Him anyways. Even though you may not feel like it, choosing to faith it by choosing to sing and worship to Him because you know He is worthy of it all. Right, worshiping the Lord, it consists of singing. But then thirdly and lastly, right, hey, worship and worshiping the Lord, man, it involves a heart of gratitude. Whenever I think of gratitude, I think of the time I had the privilege of going to Uganda. Both of my parents are from there. My dad passed away a few years back, and so we had a funeral ceremony there in Uganda in the village that my dad grew up in. And the whole trip, man, it was a surreal experience getting a chance to see where I came from. You know, I'd never been there before. Opened my eyes to a lot of things. It was awesome. But I remember hanging out in the village there, and that was an experience in and of itself. I remember going there, and, you know, everything was ran by a generator. You know, they had a little hut area where, you know, I laid my head down, you know, on a semi-deflated air mattress, you know, and I remember after, you know, we got done, I was like, man, I'm thankful. Man, thankful for my roots. Man, thankful to be able to celebrate my dad. But I'm also thankful, man, hey, that I don't live in a village. I'm one of those guys that, hey, I'm more, I think the young kids call it glamping, right? Instead of camping, you know, glamping, right? Making sure I stay up nice. I'm a city slicker, you know what I'm saying? And so, man, staying in that village, whatever I got back home, right, to, hey, my hot shower, right, hey, to you know, my bed, if you will. I remember thinking, oh, man, thank you, Lord, man. It's interesting how an experience, right, can lead you to have an extra dose of gratitude, man, whenever you're not in that prior experience. Hey, when it comes to our Christian life, hey, there is a ton of reasons why we ought to have gratitude, but the greatest one, right, ought to be at the end of the day the fact that, hey, we have been delivered from the domain of darkness and have been transferred into His marvelous light. So those times whenever we want to gripe and complain about what's going on, hey, think back to, hey, I'm not that person that I used to be. I've been saved. And the Lord, man, will bring about a heart, an attitude of gratitude. And hey, we'll turn into being people, right, that choose, as Philippians 2 says, to be like bright stars. Instead of grumbling and complaining, choose to be Christians that are like bright stars, man, in a crooked and perverse world. Even though circumstances may not be going our way, hey, we can choose to live with a heart of gratitude. Man, hey, even though these kids are acting a fool, man, Lord, we prayed for you to provide them and they're here. Praise be to you. Even though this job's, hey, is a struggle, man, praise God, I got a job and I'm able to work to provide. Man, even though life is difficult, man, praise God that I've been saved. I've been saved. Man, worship involves having a heart of gratitude. Wise living. Wise living. The Lord, right, calls for us in these days to be a people, man, that live wisely in the midst of a broken and perverse world, man, choosing to be a people that make the most of the time that we have by prioritizing what's important, choosing to be a people, right, that walk in a manner that's worthy, as we talked about last week, worthy of the gospel, choosing to be people, man, that worship the Lord at the end of the day. But we choose to be folks that live wisely in these days.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. So glad you could join us. If you've given your heart to Jesus, text HOPE JESUS, all one word, text HOPE JESUS to 77411. HOPE JESUS 77411. And let me encourage you to subscribe to this podcast. If you hadn't done that already, make sure to hit that subscribe button and share it out. You never know whose life might be changed by simply sharing this message today. So share it out. Okay? And so thank you again for listening in, and we invite you to listen in with us next week.